Turning this morning to the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. One of the most quoted verses in this special season. Isaiah, chapter 9. And verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm just using one of the names there, the Mighty God. That's our title this morning, the Mighty God. And it's from the prophet Isaiah. And you know, the prophet Isaiah has been called the John the Baptist of the Old Testament. Isaiah is also the dean of all the prophets. He is also the prophet evangelist of the Old Testament. He is actually the longest prophet, 66 chapters given to us about speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this verse, he gives us, I think, a deep, a profound picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? 700 years before it happened, 7 centuries before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the prophet, through the power of revelation, through the power of inspiration, he's telling us or giving us the identity of the Savior of the world. And it is a verse full of surprises, as I will do my best to demonstrate this morning. And look at it again. He speaks with great certainty. This man is sure about what he is speaking about. And he's telling us about the miraculous child. My dear friends, this is not just a child. It is the miraculous child. And that child in a manger, that's one of the surprises. That child in a manger is not just a newborn baby. This is Emmanuel. This is God of the very God. Oh, I cannot explain these things to you. That's why I keep telling you, if you can explain God, he must really be a small God. God is not to be explained. God is to be believed. You believe in God, you will understand many things. So we have this miraculous child. But I don't want you to overlook the verse. The verse is so rich. Do you know in this verse, you have the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have his humanity. You have his birth. Do you know in this verse, you also have his death? This child, this son is given. I will explain it in a moment. So you have his death, but you have also his resurrection. This child is going to be raised from the dead, and he's going to receive a kingdom. But he is also the judge. You see in the verse, you also have that this child will be the judge of the world. And he's going to be the king of the world. You see it in verse 6 and in verse 7 also. Oh, he has broad shoulders. He's going to carry upon himself the government, the authority of God. And if you speak about a king, it means you speak about subjects. You speak about people who have to enter into that kingdom, and we only enter in the kingdom of God through repentance and faith, because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross of Calvary on behalf of repenting sinners. So you see, so many things are said to us in just one verse, but you have more. You have his name. And it's interesting that the word name there is singular. It's not names, though five names are listed for us. But it is if all his names are just encompassed in one name. That's another surprise, don't you think so? Oh, you see, we see his person. We see his personality. Oh, he's appointed to reign. And even eternity. Eternity. You know, all these headings could be a whole sermon for our souls when you think about the greatness, the majesty, the sublime power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, how could I do justice to this one verse? It is so rich for our souls. I won't give you much of the background, but it is interesting that when Isaiah gave this prophecy, it was a time of war. I think it's very similar to our world today. Very similar. There is no peace in our world. There is so much unrest in our world. And actually, when you look at the context, the jackboots of the soldiers, the enemies, you could hear them. They are coming. And already the 10 tribes of Israel were taken into captivity. And now it's the turn of the tribe of Judah. And very soon that tribe also will be taken into captivity. Why? Because they didn't heed, they didn't listen, they didn't obey the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the voice of God then. And they have to suffer the consequences of their disobedience. So God in his mercy sent his servant, the prophet Isaiah, with a prophetic word. And as I said, this verse speaks volumes. Look at it in verse 2. You will see the darkness. There was darkness. And suddenly, it is as if there will be light that will break through the darkness. And in verse 2 there, you read, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. What is that light? What is that light, my dear friends? Oh, you know the text in John chapter 8, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And in John chapter 1, John the Baptist said, he is not the light. He's just a witness of the light. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only light, and his light takes away darkness. And suddenly, oh, my dear friend, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your eyes will see things that you have never seen before. Why? Because the darkness has vanished. The darkness is dissipated. And now the text says, and they have seen a great light, not just a light, but a great light. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ works in your soul when you believe in him. Oh, I wish I can stay there just to give you more, but we must proceed. Look at the first words there. For unto us, who is the us? It's not Mary. It's not Joseph, the parents. It's not about the city of Jerusalem alone. It's not about the Jews. It's not about everyone. You see, some people say, oh, everyone will be saved. No, it says, for unto us. And the us is you and me if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That's good news. Good news to your soul. Unto us, it is a message. Unto us, for our sakes, God acted graciously. My dear friends, you may not be loved by the people of this world, but may I give you a revelation this morning? God loves you because he created you. And without him, you and me, we just live in darkness. And for the people who dwell in great darkness, there was a great light unto us, you and me, this morning. But look at the second word. I'm trying to go slowly through the things because, as I said, the verse is rich and there is more to come. The second, the verse says, a child is born. A child is born. This speaks about his humanity. His humanity. This child was born like you and me. Like you and me, he was born into this world. But his birth was not an ordinary birth. Do you realize that? All of us are born from a father and a mother. All of us. Since Adam and Eve. But when you turn back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read that this child was born from a virgin. He was born miraculously. Miraculously. Not in an ordinary way, but in an extraordinary way. But he was born, we read. He was born into this world. He came into this world. This is the greatest miracle of all times. Born of a virgin, seed of the woman, but he was born by the Holy Spirit. That's why we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 35 there. What do we read? That the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, the mother, and that child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, take all the prophets, all the great men of this world, None of them was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't mind me to say this, do you know even in Islam how Jesus Christ is called? Jesus Christ is called in Islam Ruh Allah, the Spirit of God. The Spirit. God breathed in Mary and she gave birth miraculously to that child. Your spirit and yourself, how many persons? One person. One person. So if Christ was conceived by the Spirit, who is he then? So you see, he was born of a woman, his humanity. The Savior, oh, this again, I can only explain these things to you. I marvel, you know, people stop marveling today. They stop wondering. Christ didn't come in this world like an angel. He could have done that. But instead of coming in the body or in the spirit of an angel, he came in the body of a babe. You know why a babe? Oh, I know, you ask parents. When even alien people to you, people who are strangers to you, when they see a baby, they want to approach you. A smiling baby, a gentle baby. Well, a baby makes God to be approachable. We will not be scared or threatened. But he came in the body of a babe. So number one, for us, unto us, you and me, if we trust in him, you can say when you leave this place today, Jesus Christ came into the world for me. I repented from my sins. I trusted in him. But number two, for unto us, a child is born. But number three, look at number three. The Son is given. You see, the Son is never born. The Son has always existed. Do you see, I spoke to you on the second heading about his humanity, but here we have his divinity. His divinity. The child is born, but the Son, who has always existed, God has always existed. Christ has always existed. There have never been a time in eternity or in history when the Lord Jesus Christ did not exist. That's another marvel. It's another miracle there. It's another surprise. He has always existed. He's eternal. Oh, you didn't choose where to be born. You didn't choose by which parents you were to be born. You didn't choose which hospital you will be born in. But the Lord Jesus Christ chose where, when, and how. He chose it all. He chose his parents. He chose his city. He chose his nation. He chose his tribe. He chose his friends. He chose his subjects. You didn't have anything to do with that. Neither do I. That's another surprise, my dear friends. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ came when he wanted, and he chose which womb also he will be conceived into. You know, some of us, I will speak about this evening as we look at the genealogy. Some of us, if we have a choice, I will never bear that surname. I will choose a different surname if I have a choice. But the Lord Jesus Christ chose exactly, precisely which family he's going to be born into. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, already there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he said, I'm going to be born into this world by a woman without the intervention of a man. That's why he's called the seed of the woman. And when you read Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, he will choose exactly which tribe he's going to be born in. And he chose to be born in the tribe of Judah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, he chose exactly which family he's going to be born in, the family of King David. I think you have to really to be logical in these things. Otherwise, how can you reject? How can you reject the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is historical. It is factual. It is biblical. And it is spiritual. For unto us, a child is born, his humanity. For unto us, a son is given, his divinity. He's God, God in a human body. And oh, without Christ, my dear friends, I don't want anyone to go out from this room this morning thinking, without Christ, there is nothing to celebrate. Believe me. Or you may enjoy Christmas, the season, you may enjoy life, but I think without Christ, if you are living without Christ, there is nothing to celebrate. What are you celebrating? Oh, the gifts. The gifts are just ephemeral. They are temporal. They are transient. They will pass away. But the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. And you have him, my dear friends. Oh, there is something to celebrate. Christ in you. Your sins are forgiven. And you have fellowship with God. You are a child of the living God. This is celebration. But there is more in the passage. I want to show you again that this is not just a son, but this is the Son of God. Not just as a son, like your son or my son, but this is the Son of the living God. And he's also a gift. Do you see the verse says, for unto us a son is given. The 13th, still in relation to given there, the word given in Hebrew means delivered. That's why I said to you in Isaiah 9 verse 6, you have also the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered. He was given away. Given away for sinners like us. And we read in the Bible, God spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all. Christ died on the cross of Calvary for all who will believe in him, for all who will trust in him. My dear friend, if you don't mind, may I ask you a question? And I hope it will prompt your conscience. What reasons you have not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Please give me just one reason, if you have any. There is not one singular One single reason we can propose, we can put forward in order to say, no, I don't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it is. It pleased God, we read in Isaiah, it pleased the Father to bruise his own son. My dear friends, no father, no mother of this world will bruise his own son to save any one of us. Actually, most fathers or all fathers, all mothers will protect their child, do their best. Even they are willing to give their own lives instead of giving the life of the son. But you see, God of the very God, has only one begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But willingly, he bruised him. He made him to be crucified. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary there for our sins, if we trust in him. Sometimes I think in English, in any language, we should find another word more powerful than love. But I can't see any. I didn't find any. This is more than love. Only God can do that. But really, the heart of my speaking to you this morning, look at the 5 or 6 names. I put it in plural, but the text itself has it in singular. There are 5 or 6 names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, as I told you, this is another surprise. 700 years before he was born. And he was elevated. This humble child was elevated above all. Names and attributes given to our Savior. And no man, no matter how great he is in this world, in the world past, in the world present, and in the world future, will deserve these designations and appellations. No man. Because they can be applied only to God. And they are inviting titles. His name is above all names. Number one, we are running against time as often, but look at it. I will go smoothly. Each name is so powerful about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I chose that title this morning, The Mighty God. And incomparable with any, unparalleled, only him. The first name given to him among the names there, as I said, in singular, one name, telescoping, condensing all the names. Wonderful, wonderful, admirable. The wonder of wonders. The people speak about the 7 wonders of the world. They are nothing. Some of them I have been there. Some of them I have seen them. Or you have seen them on the television and so on. There are so many apps now to show you the wonders of around the world. But there are no wonders at all. Oh, the wonder God came in this world in a human body. That's the wonder. That's the wonder. Normally, if we are good people, as soon as the name Jesus is mentioned, we should fall down on our knees to worship him. Oh, he is wonderful. He is the wonder of wonders in all, in greatness, in purity, in holiness. When he spoke, everyone wondered at his gracious words. I didn't invent it. It's in Luke chapter 4. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, all the people were there, hanging. And they said, no man spake like this man. He is wonderful, the wonder of wonders. He is the wonderful God and the wonderful Savior. He provided a wonderful plan of salvation. We could stop there and tell you so much about the plan of salvation. But in few words, the good news to save your souls, to make you to be reconciled with God. Oh, my dear friends, I wish I can tell you these things at length. There is no greater joy than to go back home today knowing that all your sins are forgiven. Please don't miss that. My sins, my hidden sins, my secret sins, the evil thoughts I have, the animosity in my heart, the dissipation, the corruption, the hatred, all is forgiven because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. That's what he does. And we read in Isaiah chapter 1, we are in the prophet Isaiah, that he will make your sins and your life to become whiter than snow. What could be whiter than snow? Oh, he is wonderful. We only do ordinary things, but whatever he did or said is wonderful. You know, he was prophesied. That's wonderful. I could list to you, really, at least 100 prophecies said about the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of them going back 2,000 years before he came. I actually mentioned one to you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's 2,000 years before he came. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we read that he will be born in the city of Bethlehem Ephratah. Precise, very precise. 500 years before he was born. And he was born of a virgin. That's wonderful. His teaching, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, all those things are wonderful. Oh, my dear friends, his miracles. Do you know some of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ? A woman who spent all her money with the doctors. She was destitute and bankrupt because she was spending all her money on her health. Oh, she said to herself, if I could just touch the pan of his garment. She trusted, and as soon as she touched the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, she thought he wouldn't know about her. And that blood she was losing for 12 years immediately stopped. And there was his friend Lazarus in a grave. 4 days he was in a grave, and people lost any hope. But they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, your friend Lazarus is dead. And you know what Christ said? He said he's just sleeping. And when he came to the grave, what did he say? Lazarus, come out. If he said just come out without saying Lazarus, all the dead will come out. But specifically he said Lazarus. Is this not another wonder? People try to show us that they can walk on the waters today. It's an illusion. The Lord Jesus Christ walked on the waters and he stopped the sea, the storm on the sea, the waves. He said just a word. The weather broadcast cannot stop anything. They cannot do anything about the broadcast. All the engineers cannot. That's why they are speaking to us about all this global warming and so on. Why can't they do anything about it? But the Lord Jesus Christ, just by a word. And that's why he said, until the end of this world, the seasons will be there. So don't worry. They will be there. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful in everything. Wonderful because he will be the judge of the world. Oh, my dear friends, I'm sure you know the hymn 106. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike and divine, but the fair glories of thy grace, more godlike and unrivaled shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who hath grace so rich and free? The great God of wonders. Number two, look at it. He's the counselor. He's the counselor, and he takes counsel from none. His discernment and judgment are perfect. Without Christ, my dear friends, you are left to man's opinions. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, please take me for my word here. You are only living for what you read in books made by men, manufactured by men, concocted by men. But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the wisdom of God, because in Christ dwell all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. He is the incarnation of wisdom. He is made unto us wisdom of God, because he has the mind of God. Are you confused? Oh, no, no, no. I hear some Christians say, I'm confused. No, no, no. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be confused. You know where you are going. You will not lose it, because you are going to God. Oh, never, never without Christ confused. Never. He knows the mind of God. His counsel is for the heart and the soul, always to the point. He's the counselor and the comforter. What is the best counsel I can give you this morning? Very simple. Turn from your sins and believe in God. That's the best counsel I can give you. But I must move on. Look at the third. He's wonderful. He's the counselor. You can use the word wonderful with every name. He's the wonderful counselor. And the third name is the wonderful mighty God. Look at it there. And the Hebrew word is valiant, a hero. That's the meaning. The mighty hero, powerful hero, valiant hero, almighty and invincible. The bat baby in a manger born in Bethlehem is the mighty God. Is God with us? The counselor is the wonderful and mighty God. He's mighty to save. Everything here could only be said about God. If Jesus Christ was not God, to call him God is a blasphemy. But because he's God, it is not a blasphemy to call him mighty God. Number four. The everlasting Father. Look at it there. The everlasting Father. Jesus Christ treats you. He's different than the Father, of course. But when you trust in him, he treats you like a father. What does a father do to his children, my dear friends? I ask you. What a good father does to his children. He provides for them. He protects them. He cares for them. He cuddles them. And some of us, we even spoil them. It shouldn't be the case. But God is the everlasting Father, the Father of eternity. Literally, that's what it means, the Father of eternity. Jesus Christ is our Father in terms of he's the genitor of the saved ones. He makes us to enter into the kingdom of God. He takes repenting sinners to eternity. No clinic, no hospital, no psychiatrist will ever be able to give you eternal life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My dear friends, before I close, you know who is our father? Our father is Adam. What happens to us in Adam? We die. But what happens to us in Christ? We live. And I hope nobody will be offended when I say this. If you are only in Adam, not in Christ, according to John chapter 8, Satan is your father. I'm saying this with a broken heart. Somebody created by God who has Satan as his father? Instead of having God as your father, God to be your father, you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are more names. But let me close with the last one. Look at it again here in Isaiah 9, verse 6. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace, he paid the price to secure peace for sinners like us. Peace like a river there on the cross of Calvary. He became our peace and made peace with his own blood. Peace is the legacy of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "My peace I give unto you, not like the world." There is no peace in this world. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says. And the peace of the world is just a temporal peace, very superficial peace. But the peace of Jesus Christ is eternal. In Christ, even if the worst is to come, you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You trust in him this day, you shall receive that peace. You can live in peace and die in peace. My dear brothers and sisters, the greatness of Jesus Christ is not in war. Look at our world again. People think to be great, you need to conquer all the nations, then you are great. But the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in war, but in peace. And we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, by faith, we have peace in him, peace with God. Let's